Siyadaita Garadara Sivatani Gaura Vakta Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama
of all the Vaishnavas. All glory to you. O Lord, please give the conditioned souls the gift of devotional service. Please accept them as your own devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed the association of his devotees in Navadvipa. And in home after home, he held kirtan and enjoyed pastimes with Nityananda, Gadadhar, and the other devotees. The devotees became filled with the spiritual bliss given to them by the Lord, and they saw that all the worlds were filled with Lord Krishna's presence. They were always wrapped in the ecstasy of love for Lord Krishna, and they were never an external consciousness. Sankirtan was their only activity. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an external consciousness, he would devotedly serve the Vaishnavas. Especially, he served the Dvaita Charja. And this made a Dvaita Charja very unhappy within his heart. He thought, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, yet he serves me. His dishonesty is like that of a thief. And in this way, this thief always cheats and mocks me. Renouncing his position as the Supreme Master, he sometimes holds tightly to my feet, and I have no power to fight against him. He forcibly takes the dust of my feet. How can I change the situation? After some time, a Dvaita Charja decided upon a plan. I will gather hundreds and thousands of disciples. The Lord descended to this world to teach devotional service, but I will not give any importance to devotional service. Then, when I teach that devotional service is unimportant, the Lord will forget himself with anger. He will grab me by the hair, and he will punish me. Thinking in this way, a Dvaita Charja became very happy. And accompanied by Haridas Thakura, a Dvaita journeyed to his home in Shantipur. Once in Shantipur, he immediately began lecturing on the book Yoga Vashishta, and he began to teach impersonalism. A Dvaita Charja would say, without first accepting the philosophy of impersonalism, devotion to Lord Vishnu has no power. Impersonalism is the life of all spiritual activity. Impersonalism has all spiritual power. And not understanding the real, true importance of impersonalism, people leave the wealth that they have at home and go to the forest searching for wealth. Devotion to Lord Vishnu is a mirror, and impersonal philosophy is a pair of eyes. How can a man without eyes look into a mirror? I have studied all the scriptures from beginning to end, and in this way I have understood that impersonalism alone is the true teaching of the scriptures. Haridas Thakura, who was with a Dvaita Charja in Shantipur, understood his purpose, and hearing these explanations, Haridas loudly laughed. One day, Lord Chaitanya happily walked in the town, accompanied by Lord Nityananda, Together they appeared as if they were two moons. Lord Chaitanya said to Nityananda, "Let us visit Advaita Charya's home in Shantipur." Happy and playful, the two lords walked on the path to Advaita's home. And halfway to Shantipur, near the Ganga, they came to a village named Lalitapur. In this village lived a householder sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda, "Who lives in this house?" And Lord Nityananda replied, "This is a sannyasi's home." And Lord Chaitanya said, "If we are fortunate, we may see him." Smiling and laughing, the two lords went to this tantric sannyasi's house. Immediately upon entering, Lord Chaitanya offered obeisances to the sannyasi, and gazing at the charming forms, the blossoming faces, and graceful limbs of the two moons, Chaitanya Nitai, the sannyasi happily blessed them again and again. "May you have wealth, fame, a good marriage, and great learning." To those words, Lord Chaitanya replied, "A true sannyasi does not give a blessing like that. A true sannyasi will say, 'May you attain Lord Krishna's mercy.' Devotion to Lord Vishnu is the true blessing. It is the only blessing. It is eternal and it can never be lost. That blessing a true sannyasi will give, the blessing that you offered, they were incorrect." Laughing, the sannyasi replied, "Today I have experienced that which I had only previously heard of. In this age, a person who speaks sweet words will find himself beaten with sticks. This Brahmin's son acts like that. I cheerfully blessed him that he would become wealthy. What fault have I committed? Oh, Brahmin boy, why do you criticize my blessing? You may be a devotee of Lord Vishnu, but how do you maintain your body without money? Tell me that." Hearing the sannyasi's words, Lord Chaitanya laughed, and lifting his graceful hand, he placed it to his forehead. By these actions, Lord Chaitanya taught everyone to desire nothing but devotional service. Lord Chaitanya then began to reply, "Please listen. Listen, O Sannyasi Goswami. It is because of one's past karma that a living entity eats food and encounters various situations. If the perfect purpose of life is to enjoy wealth and family, then please tell me why one's wealth and family are always taken away at death. Why do diseases torture our bodies? No one desires disease. Please listen carefully. This is only one's karma. The people desire material wealth, and the Vedas teach them in such a way that they will become purified and will attain devotional service to the Lord. This secret purpose of the Vedas the fools do not know." Hearing Lord Chaitanya's words, the sannyasi laughed and thought, "I think this Brahmin boy is crazy. Some mantra must be the reason for his craziness. Perhaps the sannyasi with this Brahmin boy has given him these ideas and has bewildered him." The sannyasi then said, "I have traveled to Ayodhya. I have traveled to Mathura, Mayapuri, Badarik Ashram, Guruvaya, Banarsi, Gaya, Vijayanagara, and now I do not know right from wrong. Now a boy still drinking his mother's milk must give me instructions." Laughing, Lord Nityananda said, "Oh, listen, sannyasi. There is no use arguing with a child. I know how glorious you are. Please glance at us and forgive everything. Hearing himself praised, the sannyasi became happy and cheerful and invited his guests to a meal. Lord Nityananda said, we have urgent business and we must hurry onward. Please give us something to take with us, and after bathing in the Ganga, we will stop on the path and eat. But the sannyasi insisted that they bathe by his home, eat something, rest, and then travel onward. As the two lords had descended to save the sinful souls, they agreed. After bathing, they sat down to eat some fruit. They offered some milk, mangoes, panache fruit, and other fruits to Lord Krishna. And then, as the sannyasi looked on, they began to eat the remnants. The sannyasi was a tantric and was accustomed to drinking wine. Again and again, as the two lords were eating, he gestured to Lord Nityananda and said, "Listen, Sripad, shall I bring you some bliss? Where will I find guests like you? Having traveled throughout the world," Lord Nityananda understood the meaning behind the sannyasi's request. In his heart, he thought, "By bliss, this sannyasi means wine. He drinks wine." Again and again, the sannyasi said, "I will bring you some bliss. Is that all right?" And Lord Nityananda replied, I think it is time for us to leave now." Gazing at the two lords handsome like Kamadev, and becoming wrapped in thinking of them, the sannyasi's wife rebuked the sannyasi, "Why are you interrupting their meal?" Then, in the midst of all this, Lord Chaitanya asked Nityananda, "What is this bliss the sannyasi keeps speaking about?" And Lord Nityananda whispered to him, "By bliss, he means wine. Vishnu, Vishnu!" Lord Chaitanya immediately began calling out the names of the Lord. He then rinsed his mouth and ran from the house with Nityananda. And both the lords immediately jumped in the Ganga. In this way, the Lord was merciful, even to a debauchee who was a wine drinker. The sannyasi drank wine and enjoyed the company of women. Still, Lord Chaitanya visited his home. He conversed with him. He taught him. He rested and accepted the meal that he offered. In that birth, the sannyasi did not become saintly. But in another birth, he will. Mahaprabhu showed him mercy because the sannyasi, for all of his faults, was not a blasphemer. He did not criticize devotees. All but those who are blasphemers, all but those who criticize devotees soon become saintly at heart by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus the two lords joyfully swam in the Ganga's waves. Again and again, Lord Chaitanya roared, "I am he! I am he! Nara, Adroita broke my sleep and brought me here. Now he hides the truth of devotional service and preaches impersonalism, and today I will punish him. I am he! Today, everyone will see what happens to impersonalists. Roaring in this way, Lord Chaitanya swam in the Ganga's current. And remaining silent, Lord Nityananda smiled within his heart. Thus Chaitanya and Nittai swam and swam until they came to Advaita Charaja's home in Shantipur.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Advaita Charya was very powerful, and he understood what was about to happen. In his heart he thought, my actions will now bear their fruit. The Lord is coming with great anger. And thus he began to preach his impersonalism still more strongly than before. Who has the power to understand the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees? Soon, accompanied by Lord Nityananda and his face filled with anger, Lord Chaitanya arrived in Shantipur at the home of Advaita Charya. And as soon as the Lord entered Advaita Charya's house, he saw the Acharya sitting happily upon an asana, swaying to and fro, preaching impersonalism. Haridas Thakur saw Lord Chaitanya, and Advaita Acharya's son Achyutananda immediately offered obeisances. Sitarani, Advaita Acharya's wife, offered obeisances in her heart. But seeing Lord Chaitanya's angry form, which is as brilliant as 10 million moons, Sitarani became extremely worried. Gazing at his anger, everyone felt fear take birth in their hearts. His face filled with anger, Lord Chaitanya said, Nara, examine impersonalism and examine devotional service and tell me which of the two is better. Advaita Charya immediately replied, impersonalism is always better. Unless one is an impersonalist, how can one hope to attain devotional service and perfection? Hearing Advaita say impersonalism is better, Lord Chaitanya immediately became enraged. He forgot the external world. Dragging Advaita Charya from his seat, Lord Chaitanya raised his fist and struck Advaita. Understanding everything, Advaita's devoted wife, who is the mother of the three worlds, became agitated. She called out, he's an old Brahmin, an old Brahmana. Spare him, spare his life, you'll kill him. By punishing him, who do you teach? What more will you do to this old Brahmana? Why can't you leave him in peace? Hearing saintly Sitarani's words, Lord Nityananda smiled. Frightened, Haridas meditated upon Lord Krishna within his heart. But angry Lord Chaitanya did not hear the saintly woman's words. Still angry, he loudly rebuked Advaita. I was sleeping on the milk ocean. Then you, Nara, woke me to fulfill your mission. You brought me here to teach devotional service, and now you are hiding devotional service, and you are teaching impersonalism. If you wanted to hide devotional service, if that was what was within your heart, then why did you wake me and bring me here to teach devotional service? I did not go against your desire. I came here, and now why are you cheating me? After thus rebuking Advaita, Lord Chaitanya sat down by the door. Then, speaking in a loud voice, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to reveal the truth about himself. Oh, it was I who had killed Kamsa. Look, Nara, you know everything. Rama, Shiva, Shesha, and Lakshmi Devi all serve me. My chakra killed that jackal, that false Vasudev. My chakra burned Benares. My arrow killed powerful Ravan. My chakra cut Banasura's many arms. My chakra killed Narakasura. I held Govardhan Hill with my left hand. I brought the Parijata flower from Swagaloka. I cheated Bali and thus gave him my mercy. I killed Hiranyakashipu to rescue Prahlad. Hearing Lord Chaitanya reveal his own glories, Advaita Acharya floated in an ocean of ecstatic love. Attaining the punishment of his desire, Advaita Acharya became filled with feeling humble and submissive before his lord, Advaita Acharya clapped his hands and he began to dance. He said, "As I have offended, so I was punished. The Lord was good to me. I only attained a small punishment. Now, my Lord, I know that you are my master. You have punished me for my misdeeds. You are counting me as your own. Lord, in my heart, I now have the strength to be your servant." Speaking these words, Advaita Acharya joyfully danced. Advaita joyfully danced everywhere in the courtyard. Then, knitting his eyebrows, he placed these words before Lord Chaitanya's feet. "Where has your flattery of me gone now? Where has all your cheating gone? I am not Bhrigu Muni, the dust of whose feet you happily keep upon your chest as the Srivats mark. My name is Advaita. I am your pure servant. Birth after birth, I yearn to taste the remnants of what you have eaten. And the power of that tasting has made me free of Maya. You have now punished me. Now please, just give me the shade of your feet." After speaking these words, Advaita Acharya humbly and devotedly fell to the ground and placed on his head Lord Chaitanya's feet. Respectfully picking him up, Lord Chaitanya embraced Advaita, who is weeping without restraint. Seeing Advaita Acharya's devotion, Nityananda also began to weep. It was as if a river of tears flowed from his eyes. Falling to the ground, Haridas Thakur wept. Advaita Acharya's wife wept. Advaita Acharya's servants wept. Advaita Acharya's son Achyutananda wept. Advaita Acharya's home was filled with the ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great embarrassment that he had angrily struck Advaita Acharya. Thus, to Advaita, he happily offered a boon. "If anyone, for even half a sesame seed's worth of time, takes shelter of you, even if he is an insect, a worm, a beast, or a bird,
or even if he has offended me 100 times, still I will give that person my mercy. Hearing this boon, that great soul Advaitacharya wept still more. Grasping the Lord's feet, he humbly said, "O Lord, whatever you speak can never be false. But, O Lord, please hear the solemn vow that I now make. If anyone has devotion for me, but does not honor you, I will destroy his devotion for me. Anyone who does not worship your feet or give honor to you is not my devotee. Lord, anyone who worships you is my very life. I cannot stay in the company of anyone who offends you. I will not even look at such a person, even if he is my son or my servant. If a person rejects you and worships 10 million demigods instead, the demigods, on some pretext, will destroy him. It is not I who say this. This is the teaching of the Vedas. You are the root of the Vedas, the Brahmins, the root of Jagya, the root of religion, and I do not accept worship from anyone who does not worship you." Hearing Advaitacharya's words, Lord Chaitanya roared, "Everyone, please hear the truth that I will now say. Anyone who neglects my servants and then worships me is low and degraded. Such a person cuts me into pieces. His worship is like fire that burns my body. My holy name, which is a kalpa vriksha tree, destroys anyone who once blasphemes my servant. The living entities who live in the numberless universes are all my servants. Therefore, any living entity who harms another living entity will perish. If a sannyasi blasphemes an innocent person, that sannyasi will fall down. His piety will perish." Advaitacharya, you are more dear to me than my own body, and anyone who offends you will not be able to bear the fate that awaits him. Raising his arms, fair Lord Chaitanya declared to the entire world, "Renouncing criticism of others, everyone, please chant Lord Krishna's names. I will personally deliver anyone who does not criticize others and who once chants Krishna. That is the truth. It is the truth." When Lord Chaitanya spoke these words, the devotees responded, "Jai, Jai, Haribol!" Grasping Lord Chaitanya's feet, Advaitacharya wept, and embracing Advaitacharya, Lord Chaitanya wept. Glancing for a moment at Lord Advaita, Lord Chaitanya smiled and said, "I was a little mischievous. I acted as a child." Advaita replied, "Nothing about you is material." Lord Chaitanya said to Nityananda, Please listen, O noble-hearted Nityananda. If I was a little mischievous, please forgive me. Looking at each other, Nityananda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Charja, and Haridas Thakur all laughed. Then addressing her as mother, Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sitarani, Advaita's saintly and devoted wife, and said, "Go quickly, cook, offer the meal to Lord Krishna, and I will eat the remnants." Then, accompanied by Nityananda, Haridas, Advaita, and the others, Lord Chaitanya went to bathe in the Ganga, and after bathing, the Lord and the devotees returned to Advaita's home. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offering dandavat obeisances before the deity of Lord Krishna, Advaita Charja fell down, placing his head upon the soles of Lord Chaitanya's feet. Haridas Thakur then fell down and placed his head upon the soles of Advaita Charja's feet. And seeing these wonderful pastimes, Nityananda smiled. Lord Chaitanya hastily rose and chanted, "Vishnu, Vishnu." Accompanied by Nityananda and holding Advaita's hand, Lord Chaitanya happily entered the dining room. The three lords, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Lord Advaita, sat down together in the dining room. Haridas Thakur sat down at the dining room's entrance, as he was qualified to see all these pastimes. Chanting Hari Hari, saintly Advaita's wife, who was the queen of yogis, served the meal to the three lords, who eagerly ate the meal of splendid rice, ghee, milk, and sweet rice. Glancing at Advaita, Nityananda smiled. When everyone was full, a little more food remained, and Nityananda, laughing, became like a boy and threw the rice here and there in the house. And Lord Chaitanya called out, "Hai, hai," and Haridas smiled. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, "I bowed down before the feet of Lord Chaitanya's dear devotees. O devotees, please forgive all my offenses." For some days, Lord Chaitanya stayed in Advaita's home. Then the three lords returned to Navadvipa. In Navadvipa, the devotees, hearing the Lord has come, they joyfully ran to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And gazing at the Lord's moonlike face, they felt that all their sufferings had been taken away. Grasping the Lord's feet, the devotees began to weep. Lord Chaitanya is the life of all the devotees, and he lovingly embraced them all. The Lord's personal associates are like the Lord's own incarnations. They are all very kind and generous. They are the best of the devotees. They all bowed down before Lord Advaita, whose devotional activities made Lord Chaitanya descend to this world. In the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and Advaita Charja, the Vaishnava is all wild with bliss, accompanied by the Lord, made a great tumult as they chanted a kirtan of Lord Krishna's names. And seeing her son, Mother Sachi, was overcome with bliss. Accompanied by her daughter-in-law, she offered prayers of thanks to Lord Krishna. Only thousand-faced Lord Ananta Shesha has the power to describe these pastimes. He is my life, birth after birth. Anyone who hears these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya And anyone who hears the pastime that Lord Chaitanya enjoyed in Advaitacharya's home will one day attain the Lord. One day he will meet Lord Chaitanya. The two moons, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, are my life and soul, and I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their feet.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.